Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We've got a new MVP named in the NBA, but will the real MVP please stand up? It's your girl, Jhené Ogunwoke, here with Mike Golic Jr. Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Now, coming up in about 10 minutes, I've really got the hottest coworker in the game, co-host in the game. Oh. But we will talk about the hottest teams remaining in the bubble very soon. But first, let's talk about the award that matters most. Giannis Antetokounmpo was named MVP, back-to-back MVP of the Milwaukee Bucks, who were bounced early in the playoffs. But the real MVP, according to a lot of people right now, LeBron James, will take the court tonight. Now, Junior, it's really interesting when we look at this matchup, especially with the Nuggets. I think there's an expectation that he's going to go off. We sort of established this earlier. This is, you know, when you have an award that doesn't go to you and you have an opportunity to show people why, it's really a huge deal for LeBron James. So we're looking forward to a triple-double, at least our show's performance. That's our expectation. But, you know, one of the real MVPs of my life is a guy by the name of Baron Davis, and he's joining us right now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. BD, how are you doing?
What's up, Tina? What's going on?
Not much. We're just holding it down, and we really appreciate you today. And, you know, we just got the word, you know, today about Giannis Antetokounmpo winning MVP. Do you feel like that still feels okay, considering his team got bounced early and LeBron James is looking like the guy who could potentially be the biggest star to lead his team to a championship?
Yeah, you know, I would say, like, back in the day, you know, you kind of still had a feeling who was going to get the MVP. Now that they're, you know, putting it towards the end of the season, I think it kind of loses luster, because as you get deeper and deeper into the playoffs, you actually start seeing, you know, who my pick for the MVP was, and that was LeBron James.
Here with Baron Davis, former NBA All-Star, and it's really interesting as well, because, you know, on the court we care about the statistics. We see guys that can take over, but off the court, you know, switching to the Eastern Conference, we had reports about the Celtics, Marcus Smart being one of those included in the locker room that was really heated after they went down 0-2 to the Heat. How do you, you know, I know you've been in the locker room when things got feisty. Is there an instance that sort of makes this feel like it's okay, it's a part of the process?
Wait, I missed the last part of my phone. Say it again, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you've been in plenty of locker rooms where things could have got complicated. You know, hearing about the Boston Celtics and them, you know, letting their emotions out, how do you think this is going to influence their team moving forward?
I mean, anything that they can do for momentum, right? I think, you know, for a team like Boston, they could have won game one, right? I think it's more about the decisions down the stretch and the decisions about how they're supposed to attack and perform, you know, as the game goes into that fourth quarter and that stretch. So being able to kind of have a heated discussion, at least you lay all the cards on the line. I would say the best teacher of that has been Michael Porter Jr., right? You know, his rant propelled his team, you know, to come from behind, and now they're in the Western Conference Finals.
Talking to Baron Davis, former NBA All-Star with us here on Jhené and Golic Jr. And speaking of that Nuggets team, Baron, as you look at that matchup with the Lakers that's getting ready to tip off, how much of a chance are you giving them going up against a guy like LeBron James, him and Anthony Davis, as great as they've been playing as the bubble's gone along?
Well, you know, we like the Lakers, you know, being born and raised here from L.A. Like I said, LeBron's my MVP. AD would have been, you know, in the top five. And one thing we know about this Denver Nuggets team is you don't want to count them out. it's just not over until, you know, the last buzzer on a seven-game series is complete. So for me, it's just, you know, I'm going to sit back and enjoy this, because you're going to have a center matchup, you know, with Jokic and AD out there sometimes. You know, you got Jamal Murray, you got LeBron. You know, it'd be interesting to see how this young Denver team, you know, steps up and performs, because, you know, they can't afford to get down 3-1, I tell you, to LeBron James, because that's what he does best, is close people out.
here with Baron Davis, former NBA All-Star here on Chene and Golic Jr. Now, Baron, you mentioned the matchup in the paint, and Nikola Jokic is a problem. Do you think Anthony Davis, how do you see that matchup playing out?
It's going to be interesting. You know, one, AD is a superstar, so I don't think Denver really has a matchup for him. And I think the Lakers have a better chance with Howard and JaVale McGee and Anthony Davis, right, matching up against Jokic at center, and then as opposed to Denver really finding someone that can match up with AD.
Baron, I'm curious, you mentioned being from Los Angeles, around there. You played for the Clippers for a while, and we saw an early exit for a team that on paper looked like one of the most talented in the postseason. How much pressure should be on, whether it's Doc Rivers' job, Kawhi Leonard, or anyone else in that building for how it went down this season with a team super stacked on paper?
Yeah, I say that's exactly what you saw. I think the Clippers had a golden opportunity to advance, and you saw fatigue set in, and you just saw them, sort of unravel at the end. And I would say, that is the difference between, a team coming together and, having that brain, as opposed to a team coming together and, trying to get as far as they can on their talent. Right, but not really having all the right pieces, to be a championship team. So, my question around the Clippers all the time was, who is the primary playmaker for the Clippers? And I always felt that, when the going would get tough, if they don't play isolation ball, then it's going to be hard because they don't have a centralized creator.
Now, BD, before we let you go, we're going to have this conversation in a few minutes, but I had to get your opinion on this. We talked about the Nuggets, but we haven't talked that much about the Miami Heat. Which team do you think is hotter, no pun intended, because both teams have sort of overperformed past our expectations?
Well, Miami is up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals. So I would say Miami is definitely hot. It's hard to compare, right, because of what Denver has done, down 3-1, but when you look at Miami, you look at toughness, right? There's not a person who right now is not looking at the game of basketball and saying, I don't like the way Miami play, right? Everybody likes the way Miami play. They play for sacrifice, right? They have a lot of big moment guys, and they have a lot of trust within those guys. And so even their rookies, their vets, they have a good combination of, athleticism, strength, right, and playmakers, right? And I think Spoelstra is an excellent coach and doesn't get enough credit.
Awesome stuff, Baron. We appreciate the time and the insight. We're looking forward to that series kicking off in the Western Conference and seeing if the Celtics can get back in this one. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, VD.
All right, thanks, Mike. Thanks, Tina.
Baron Davis, former NBA All-Star with us on Chene and Golic Jr. And he mentioned the Heat there, everyone liking their style. I feel like once that zone got busted out, there might have been a little bit of a chip in that argument.
No, that is true. But what's funny? He actually said my name the proper way. He said, thanks, Chene. My name is Chene, yeah. That's my fault. We're still trying to get you to say it.
Wait, one a minute. So wait, we're like a month into this show and now you're just going to tell me that I've been saying it wrong?
People say Chene, it's like the whatever way. But he's like Chene. He calls me like my real name. Chene is my name. Chene. So, it's funny. But
so you told me one super long name like the first week. I was told Chene.
One day I will get you to say it.
We're going to have to work on this because now I feel like
I
have been deceived.
I'm trying to remember your middle name. Oh, man.
Yeah, see?
We'll get it in the break.
I feel like we barely know each other right now. You know what, Chene? There's only one way to get through this right now. It's Friday. I woke up this morning and for 20 minutes thought it was Saturday, and I've been dealing with a mental gap ever since. I need this moment. You need this moment. We're going to get two damn Friday next and figure out the hottest team in the NBA. It's all coming up. It's Chene and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chene and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Oh! 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 We are turning up. Feed me. We turning up. I don't know if you guys saw all my confetti. It's fully in my hair right now. We are Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. My weave is looking crazy right now.
Oh, my God. I didn't even see the glitter. We got glitter flying everywhere. We got belly tattoos.
You want to see a little bit more?
I am like...
Shout
I'm
out. Here we go.
Again.
There it is.
Oh, yeah.
I told you I was going to hate myself
for
this. I'm
going to say one more time for the one time here, too.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
I spent so long drawing this on my stomach. For anyone that can't see this on radio, the Zeke Elliott nod to the Feed Me tattoo on the belly. It does not look as good on mine. I do not have abs. I had to draw marker through stretch marks. This was a labor of love, and so you are all going to have to look at it. Feed me with the spoon. Note the spoon.
Speaking of which, Cowboys will be taking on the Falcons on Sunday night. And then also, we will be getting to in about 10 minutes, getting you ready for that Sunday night matchup between the Patriots and the Seahawks. But that was so impressive.
Oh,
I did not know that was coming. First of all, I have a question. What kind of marker did you use? I hope it's Sharpie, and I hope it's permanent.
It is, and I did. I actually had to lay down in the studio and have Devin draw that on me with a stencil.
Oh.
We got close today. It got intimate
in here. Whoa, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Jr., topless, with Dev, drawing a tattoo. That's some real love. That's ELE energy.
That's how we live around here.
ELE. I'm getting texts from my people.
Oh,
shout out to Allison Gaylor, who's like sending me so many dead emojis. Y'all, if you could see, I would show you guys. First of all, my hair's messed up.
I'm gonna say I appreciated the glitter. Is that a glow? Is that a disco ball you've got in the background?
Yes,
like,
there it is.
Abandon all hope, ye who come here without juice. What do they say? If you're juiceless, you're useless. No time for that around
there
here.
There we go. That part. You like my disco ball?
I do like that. I noticed that pop out right away. I missed the glitter because I was pounding my own stomach furiously.
Okay. It was a beautiful sight to see again. Earlier, I said you're the hottest coworker in the game. That's for a reason. You know, you show us what you're working with. I'm here for it. But let's get back to the NBA because we were talking with Baron Davis earlier about who are the hottest teams in the bubble. Obviously, there's four left, but two of the teams, the Nuggets and obviously the Heat. I mean, they've really overperformed, surpassed our expectations, and they've sort of done it in different ways, Junior. I'm still trying to recover from your stomach tap, which was super impressive. I hope we take a picture of it, but please give me your insight on how you see the Miami Heat really taking over and how they're doing it differently than the Nuggets, but both are sort of getting to where they need to go and taking down top teams.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting as we talk about the hottest team in the NBA. I'm sitting here like, the Lakers are playing the best basketball in the bubble leading up to this, and just because they earned themselves a break by playing it as much. But no, the Miami Heat are it's different reasons, right? Like for the Los Angeles Lakers, it is careful execution. For the Miami Heat, it seems to be sheer force of will. Eric Spoelstra, their head coach, because so many people, ourselves included, pointed at them switching his own defense in that third quarter where the wheels fell all the way off for the Boston Celtics. And Spo said, no, it wasn't anything schematic that had to do with it.
I have to look at the first half. There wasn't much that we liked about what we were doing defensively, man or zone. I know everybody wants to talk about a scheme. For us, it's disposition, it's effort, making tough plays, making multiple efforts, regardless of the scheme. And we were more committed there in the second half.
I mean, that stuff all sounds great. You were also committed to zone, which, as Bomani Jones has pointed out time and time again, is a coward's way out, but it is legal, Chinee, and it's getting them to the place they want, which is continually bullying what we put on paper as better teams into getting out of themselves, into having blow-ups in the locker room like we saw from the Celtics.
Yeah, but like, even though we consider anything but man-to-man defense, like, gimmicky, if there's one team, we were talking about it earlier, like, why would Jimmy Butler let this stand? He'd want to win the right way. Well, that's because it's getting him wins. Why not? So, yeah, the Miami Heat, they're winning in an unconventional way. They have young talent that are, you know, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, great stories to follow. Goran Dragic, like, flying under the radar with his performances. I would have to say the Heat are the hottest because they have gone 10 and one in the playoffs so far.
Is this a more, as by the way, is this going to be considered more Nuggets disrespect by us and everyone else in the media from excluding them for this?
I feel like we should say something nice so that they don't name drop us moving forward.
I feel like the nicest thing I can say about the Nuggets is I look forward to, I've predicted Lakers in five, but you realize they don't get started until they're down 3-1, so you can book that. The Nuggets would rather play down 3-1, and so if you're betting anything other than that at the beginning of the first four games of the series, you clearly don't know this team.
You don't. So are you going to change your stance like so that we can actually give something nice to the Nuggets right now or no?
No, listen, the Nuggets have played great basketball. Jamal Murray has been one of the, I think, biggest stories of this postseason run, a bona fide star, watching him and Donovan Mitchell go against each other. Jokic looks great. He's living his best slim, thick life out there right now, which I support as someone that kind of falls into that body type category as well. But no, it's Lakers in five.
Oh, still Lakers in five. I got you. Sorry if I keep looking down. I've got confetti. Like, this is a thigh-friendly, you know, function show and all that stuff. And it's like, oh, it's all cornery and stuff. But you talk about the South. You talk about, you know, the center matchup when it comes to the West. And I think it's really interesting because as much as Anthony Davis says he doesn't want to be considered a big, we're talking about hottest teams and how the Nuggets especially have been the hottest, one of the hottest teams, just because of Nikola Jokic and him anchoring the paint. This is a big boy. He knows he's not fast. The Denver Nuggets have played out of like 13 games, seven of them, you know, amongst teams, qualified teams, seven of them, they've been at the slowest pace out of anyone in the bubble. And so, Anthony Davis and Nikola Jokic both led the NBA in the regular season and in the postseason in post-ups. These guys are centers, even though Anthony Davis wants to act like he's not. So that is where the matchup will be won. And I'll be looking to see who wins, the slower pace Jokic or the pick and pop explosive Anthony Davis. And if the slow pace wins, then that Nuggets team will remain hot.
And I think we heard Frank Vogel talking about, with that slow pace, he's going to go back. They made major adjustments playing against the small ball Houston Rockets team and said, we're going to go back to what we do with the kind of big bodies they've got in that lineup. So I think this is an interesting styles make fights case right here. You talk about firepower, though. This is the second playoff matchup in NBA history featuring two players on each team who entered averaging 25 points per game during the postseason. The Lakers won the head-to-head series in the regular season 3-1, and that one loss came in a contest where LeBron, without LeBron James, they lost by 24. So going into this, everything is pointing to the Lakers.
So are we here to agree that, you know, we asked BD, Baron Davis, the hottest team in the bubble, and I would have to agree that it's the Miami Heat because they've got two wins already. But if the Nuggets were able to surprise, maybe that changes. But right now, it's got to be Miami.
I still go with the Lakers on this. I think they have slow rolled into playing the best basketball. I think the Miami Heat are just on TV more. Outside of that sweep in the Bucks series, I think we're seeing them latest right now. We're watching them frustrate teams, which adds to that. But I think just because you are a powerful force of frustration doesn't necessarily make you as hot as a team playing the best basketball.
Okay, fair. We'll see.
We will see.
In five.
I just try and be consistent around here.
You want some more confetti or no?
Does anyone want to see my stomach again? I'll take the
confetti over
that.
I do.
All right, here we go. I'll do this. I'll do this tease and this live read with my bare stomach on air. All right. Coming up next.
Do
as
it.
We
keep reading.
The NFL weekend. Can Cam Newton and the New England Patriots keep up their act pounding
the rock? Pretend this confetti are dollars.
Against a far superior opponent. We'll get to that.
That's some dollars.
After this word from TuneIn. As the NFL season gets underway, make sure you're ready wherever you go with TuneIn and ESPN Radio. Hear in-depth analysis of your favorite team all season long. Plus, fuel your football fandom by listening to ESPN's biggest football podcast on TuneIn, including the Adam Schefter podcast, the Fantasy Focus Football podcast, and the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. Download the free TuneIn app to start listening today. Feed me. Next, it's Chanae and Gold Jr.
Chanae and Golick Jr., the podcast.
All right, we're recovering. We are recovering from all that feed me energy. It was getting turnt. Clearly, people got tatted, but I'm here for all of it. We're Chanae and Golick Jr. here on Chanae and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN app. Now, you know, I'm going to ask you a question because I want to get this on the top of your head. You know, in a few minutes, we're going to talk about everything that gives us energy, including some great pictures we saw yesterday in our timelines when it involves sports. Also, we're going to talk, you know, overseas energy as well. Maui everyone loves Maui, trips to Maui or not. But first, I want to ask you, do you think that the biggest matchup on Sunday is likely to be Bucks-Panthers, like for wins, or like just yes or no?
I'm going to go no on that one. I think that's most likely to get a win or biggest win, because I'd say that one's pretty easy to come by for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Should be an easy, we've called it, I think, before a just-win game. Actually, no, you called it a must-win game earlier.
Yes,
correct?
I did.
All right.
I did. Yeah, must-win, because obviously you don't want to get two losses so early in the division. But how about the Seahawks-Patriots? Do you think that that's like the biggest matchup going into the weekend?
I think for me, that's the most interesting matchup going into the weekend, because I think a lot of people saw what Cam Newton and that Patriots offense were able to do against a Dolphins team that they should go out there and beat, but it looked different. It was the first time we'd seen Cam on the field healthy in a while, and so everyone understandably got excited, but the degree of difficulty goes up immensely against Jamal Adams and that defense.
That is a fact. That is a fact. But I've got two more before you strike out. Do you think that the Texans-Ravens is probably the most interesting or something?
Nah, I think, quite honestly, I think the Texans are going to get worked badly in that game. I think the Baltimore Ravens are playing a level of football early in the season. And we saw this from them last year during Lamar Jackson's MVP season, where he started off very hot. I think this team just has too much firepower, and if Lamar Jackson looks that in control again, good night to a Houston team that struggled against the other best team in the AFC.
You're getting warmer. Even though you hurt my feelings in the process, you're getting warmer, because the biggest matchup of the weekend is going on in fantasy. Did you know we're up against each other?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh,
there
yeah.
There we go. There we go.
You thought I missed that, huh?
I thought you missed it. Mm-mm. You know it. But, you know, clearly, you know, I was going to use this to just talk about, we talked about the last two matchups, both of my quarterbacks. Starting quarterback, obviously, Lamar Jackson. Backup, you know, Cam Newton. And I want to dial in on Cam Newton, because everyone has been talking. Everyone was so excited, you know, get that first win. Obviously, the caveat is that it's against the Dolphins. But still, we saw the Patriot offense look remarkably different. And the question is that sustainable? Now, next up, you've got the Seahawks. And when we're talking about an offense that looks good, it's remarkably different when you're talking about Russell Wilson and what he was able to do throwing the ball. So how do you see that, you know, matching up and squaring out?
Yeah, I think first off, it's interesting. Normally we'd say, well, and they have to go on the road to CenturyLink. But in this case, we're not talking about a road crowd like we're used to here. The 12s aren't going to be out in full force at this game. So certainly that's a huge, I mean, you talk about some stadiums around there, Arrowhead and that stadium, when you think about it, are two stadiums where you cannot count out that fan interaction. But I will say this, the one thing that worries me, because we saw Russell Wilson unlocked and untethered last week. That Brian Schottenheimer offense that usually wants to lean heavy on the run, let him flourish in a way that I didn't know was possible in Seattle, and made me say stock up was no bigger for any team in the NFL in week one than the Seattle Seahawks. And then I heard quotes from Pete Carroll this week that said, well, we still want to make sure that we're a run-first team and we get Chris Carson and these guys. I'm like, no, don't screw this up. Don't screw this up for everybody. Mina was so happy. Our own Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, Seahawks fan, seeing their performance in week one. I don't want to diminish that joy, Janae.
Well, you know, it's funny because we also hear from New England Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, who told reporters yesterday when talking about Russell Wilson, I don't really see anybody better than this player. So it's like they're playing footsie, but not with their teams, but with each other.
It is true. It's Bill Belichick, I think, trying to hedge his bet because he might see what's coming. Because Marcus Spears, who was on with us earlier, also a member of that ESPN NFL live crew, said that there is one person in particular Cam Newton and that offense need to watch out for.
You know, I'm all over Cam, man. I hope Cam has a great season. I hope he has a great game. But looking at Seattle play Atlanta defense is 10 times more potent than what – I mean, Atlanta's offense is 10 times more potent than what New England's offense is going to be. And did you see Jamal Adams? Did you see the 12 tackles, the 2 tackles for loss, the sacks, the constant being a nuisance to Matt Ryan and Todd Gurley and being in the backfield? Look, when they signed Jamal Adams, they made a commitment to reincarnate Troy Polamalu. And that's exactly what they're doing with him. And let's not forget Bobby Wagner is still known as one of the better linebackers in the league. This is a totally different animal.
Janae Golic Jr. reminding you, don't forget to check out ESPN Audio at Home by telling Alexa to play news from ESPN. ESPN Audio at Home brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything. Chiney, based on what we saw in week one, though, how excited are you to see your side piece, Cam Newton, and that running attack try and get loose? This is a great test for them, albeit one I don't think they'll pass.
Yeah, I'm not that excited. Let's keep it real. Like, there's, well, I don't want to be too harsh or too crass, but like, my starter's Lamar, and my starter's going up against my other side piece, Deshaun Watson. So like, I will keep it real when necessary. And you know what's funny? I'm looking at our matchups right now. Did you mention that you put the, like, is it because of you have a man crush for Zeke? Because he's your starting running
back,
right?
We show love around here for our star players on Team Golic, all right? I forget, what's my team name in this league?
Childish Hambino.
Yes, Childish Hambino, all about the feed me action from Zeke Elliott, belly tattoo, body positive around here.
And you remember what my name is, right?
The Chineighborhood?
No, I switched it.
Oh my God, you switched it up on this one? So what's the official title of the matchup for this week for Chiney and Golic Jr. listeners?
I wish I had Cliff Synergy right now. Super Cam that, bro!
Super Cam you, that, bro.
Super Cam that, bro.
Versus Childish Hambino.
Hambino. Who wins? Wait, hold on. Who wins that, guys?
Who wins that name battle on that one? You know, it's a shame because in another league, I am Ham Newton. So that would have been a great matchup for this league here. Cliff, I'm giving you the sole vote on this one. It's not a democracy. It's a dictatorship.
Yelly.
The Gambino one, childhood,
oh,
whatever that one is. I like that. That's more creative.
No, Cliff just loves to hate on me 24/7. It's fine.
Wow. ELE. Wait, ELE.
I want to ask
ELE.
Devin. ELE. Devin.
No, Devin doesn't need a vote in this. Devin's trying to cut
why?
My belly
Devin.
Video right
Devin.
Now.
I need to get this video out to the masses, so I did not even hear what we said for the last 10 seconds.
Better name, Childish Hambino or Super Cam that, bro?
You know it's Childish Hambino.
I'm going with Chiney, ELE.
Oh,
let's go.
Trying to even out on this one, and we don't have a third vote in here. Shannon is Shannon. I don't even think.
Can I break the tie?
Go for it.
Super ham that, bro.
Play the loser game show sound. Find the loser game show sound and play it.
Can't right now. It's too, you can't just call it out like that. We gotta
just
get
you're just really lobbing that one up there.
Yeah,
didn't I sound pretty good?
That was actually pretty good. It is amazing all the energy we managed to muster in that last segment turned into a complete tire fire at the end of this one. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Everyone got an inside look at the fantasy matchup for the ages between me and Chiney. The show is turning on itself quickly. We'll reverse and plot a new course for the energy heading into the weekend, and we'll do it next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We've been talking about songs that get you running. This is how you do it. Got to be in everybody's top five. I want to tell you, yes, you. Congratulations. You made it. It's Friday. Confetti and body rolls and feed me tattoos galore. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Thanks to our many additions to our roster today. Stu Gotts, where we learned that heat culture finally at the end is more like Narcos than anything else. Marcus Spears. We learned that bounce music goes and that he loves his tank tops at the end of the day. And Baron Davis, he told us that the Celtics locker room drama can sometimes be par for the course.
And shout out to Malika Andrews, who doesn't throw chairs.
Yeah, exactly. But you found out that someone here may throw hands.
Yeah, we did find out a little bit of that earlier today. We found out some things about the people that we work with, like Chiney has been letting me pronounce her name wrong for a while, and when called upon, she is ready to square up. That can only mean one thing. It's time to keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chiney and Golic Jr.
Chiney, you ready to go back to the before time, back when the world was open and things were normal?
Absolutely.
And crazed fans were trying the Agumake sisters. Not up in here. September 16th, 2019, Staples Center. Chiney Agumake, our very own on the court post game with her sister NECA, who's getting ready to get interviewed. All of a sudden, a crazed fan trying to hand her sister a love note comes through, and Chiney is ready with the hands. How'd you feel, Chiney, squaring up?
I felt proud of myself because, you know, you always imagine these moments. Will you be ready? And I was.
It is amazing for anyone watching on ESPN News right now. You gave the shuffle and you put the hands in the right spot to let everyone who ever sees this video know you're about that life.
I'm about that life. When it comes to my people, me and mine's, watch out for you and yours. But you're part of my people now. Hey, I have a question. If we're like walking down an alley and something happens, who will fight first? Do you think it'll be like me or do you think it'll be you?
I think at this point, you're probably in better condition to fight than either. I mean, if anyone saw me right now, I doubt they would be as intimidated by the feed me tattoo I've drawn on my belly. But I think we would go and fight this together, right? Like we square up all at once and all of a sudden now that person in the alley knows they messed with the wrong crew.
We would. You know, I'm lying. I don't know why I'm fronting to the American people. If something going down, I'm sprinting.
And you're
going to
outrun me.
That's our code. That's one of the codes we have. Like, certain people, when you see something going down, or you see one person running, we're like, what? Go on. That's me. But not when it's my family, and you are my family now.
Exactly. I've never been in a fight my whole life, but I will get in one for you if need be.
Oh, me neither. Oh, my gosh.
See? This is honesty.
E-L-E, baby.
Everybody, love everybody. Speaking of love, yesterday we found out about a weird phenomenon going on Twitter. I had someone DM or send me a picture of their groomsmen party, all in football stances at their wedding pictures, and I stumbled on this, Chine. Sports-themed wedding pictures are apparently a very real, very populated thing on here. You've seen a number of them, and the one thing that blew my mind, Chine, because you're a proud Stanford Cardinal alum, I'm a Notre Dame Fighting Irish grad, I saw a group getting married at the University of Michigan and the whole bridal party wearing scarlet dresses. I don't understand how you let that happen.
Yeah, that should never happen. Like, that's not how it's supposed to be done. I was more so offended because, like, I am the type of woman that is super nervous wearing white. We have sneakers. A lot of people don't like wearing white sneakers. I saw a woman, shout out to her, sliding into home base.
Oh, yeah.
In her wedding dress, going all for it. I was like, oh, I was just getting nervous and anxious. Like, no, no. But yes, sis, you got the ring.
She did. She pulled it off. She slid right into home. It seems like an apt metaphor. I saw two lines of scrimmage with the bridal party and the groom's party lined up against each other, bride and groom. Encroachment, they were kissing, so you got to flag them on that one. Shout out to our own Tarika Foster Brasby on this one, too. Her sports wedding, they had guest balls instead of a guest book and the Converse to end the night, and always got to go comfy footwear to end the night after a long day on your feet.
I have a question. Would you be mad if you got, well, you're doing the proposing, but like it's 2020, hypothetically, if someone proposed to you at a sporting event, would you be mad? Because we've been all around the game. That's been our life. How would you feel?
I always want it to be a private moment. Like, I feel like a Jumbotron proposal is a lot of pressure.
I can get mad if it was me.
You would get mad?
Yes.
We're very on the same page on that one. That's just not that's not the way to do it, man.
It's okay, would you make an exception for ND?
I might for Notre Dame just because it's a place near and dear, especially if it's special to both of us.
I still wouldn't. Situation. I want you to use your brain and your creativity. You're not taking me back to Stanford. No, 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 no. I need you to do something different.
You know what?
I don't want to be in the middle of a game. Like, oh, propose after. Like, no, I don't look cute. Like, you know I want to look cute. You coming me all sweaty, no nothing, no lashes, what? No gloss, looking really dry. Like,
oh, so you're you want the full camera crew there when you finally get proposed to.
Absolutely.
You want all the glamour pictures, everything like that?
I want all of that. Don't put me in a jersey all nasty where I'm like, ugh. No.
But see, the moment's just supposed to be about you guys.
No,
it's supposed to be the
not.
Two of you there,
it's
sharing
not.
The union,
it's
the
photos.
Moment together.
It's iconic photos, ah, now, fam. And I'm not going to be in a jersey for that. I was going to say, let me not get myself in trouble.
I was going to say, like, at this point, should we just be hoping that it happens for us?
Right,
like,
at this point for us. Yeah, absolutely.
But it's a fair point. Stadium proposals, tread lightly on these notions.
For
and finally,
us.
Big shout out in the world of college hoops. It was announced the Maui Invitational going to happen. We got a start date for college hoops, Chine. I know you're excited for that one. The Maui Invitational going to take place in North Carolina. We're still happy about shirtless Mike Bray is probably going to find his way there with the Notre Dame men's basketball team, but we just know things are going to look different this year.
Yeah, how is it going to look different? Like the views are going to be of like the pool versus you know what's better? Basketball's back. Yeah.
Exactly. I think we need to focus on the positives here. Yes, everyone likes going to Hawaii, and yes, wearing a lei, going to luau's, doing all that is going to be great, but I'm sure you can recreate that same energy in North Carolina somehow,
someway. Absolutely.
Whew. All right.
I'll be mad.
Chine is still hung up. And listen, if anyone is thinking about proposing to Chine anytime soon, don't make a mistake. Save your relationship. Happy wife, happy life.
And don't do it at work either.
Wow. All right. How many stipulations are we going to have here?
You're just starting to get to know me.
slowly but surely. The two single crowds telling everyone how to get proposed to are going to leave you for the weekend right here. Spain and Fitz, who are both comfortably married, can try and pick up the slack. They're next here on ESPN.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.